Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Open the eyes of our hearts. Who's opened up this morning? Opened up. Hallelujah. So, I just want to share with you for a few minutes. I'm so thankful how the Holy Spirit just comes in and just does what he's going to do. He gets us ready for him. And so, you know, last week we were talking about when Logos becomes Rhema, and we found out that Logos is the living word, and it's the word of Yahweh. It's the total inspired word. And for that to become Rhema, Rhema is the spoken word that we take in, that we listen, that we yield to. So when you hear something, it doesn't become alive until you speak it and do it. So you can hear the word, you can hear the logos, but it's not going to respond in your life until you allow it to become Rhema. That means it becomes alive, it becomes active in your life. Now, you have to let that happen. You are the only one that can stop you. Contrary to popular belief, the enemy, the devil, the fowler can't stop you. You can stop. He can only suggest. But if you let him stop you, see, he's a faker. Right? Anybody know fakers? I mean, what, you know, con artists. You know, they tell you one thing and, they tricking you. Slick. That's what the enemy is. So he has to be a con artist to try to con you out of believing that you can do this. And so I'm not going to let the enemy keep me from the Rhema in my life. Anybody? I'm not going to let him keep me. So that's not a series. But today I want to share something with you that I was studying, because when we did that last week, and we were in John, the 8th chapter, Johanna, you don't have to turn there exactly, but these guys were kind of rolling up on Yeshua, the Savior, and we use the Hebrew names. Yeshua is the name that you know is Jesus, but that name, Jesus, didn't come till 1611. So my question is, what were they calling him before the year 1611? And we find out in our Hebrew that his name is what? Yeshua. That means that he will save, he will deliver, he will rescue. Anybody been saved, delivered, and rescued? So Yeshua, they were rolling up on him and they were like, hey, dude, you know, who do you think you are? You know, our father Abraham is all of this. And Yeshua said, before Abraham was, I am. They said, well, you wasn't even 50 years old. You're not even 50. How would you even know Abraham? He was like, man, before he even came on the scene, I was already acting. I was already doing stuff. I was already with the Father. I was already the Word. And we find out that Yeshua, our Savior, is the living word. So he's the living logos. So this is the key. Just like the word is alive and Yeshua is the embodiment of the word, he is the word alive, you are supposed to adopt that same principle and let the word be alive in you as it was in Yeshua, as it is in Yeshua, right? And that's why the word says, let this mind be in you. But what struck me was, it all strikes me. Oh, he said, when Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. And so I want you to understand this. That means for the word to be alive in you, the word needs to saturate you. Somebody say saturation. How do you get saturation? Read the word, live the word, do the word, speak the word, think the word. Right? Have the right attitude towards the word. And then you'll be saturated. If you don't understand what that means, does anybody know what marinate is? Any food people? What do you do with that food when you want it to go all the way through? You marinate it. Denise, I know you got a secret recipe over there at Beck's Burgers. And barbecue. Do y'all marinate your meat? I'm just asking. She said, yes. You gonna tell us what you do with it? She said, no. But you know, for it to be good, there's a process. It's a marination. So in that marination is a saturation. You let it go through and through. And then the saturation leads to maturation. And what is maturation? Well, we have a definition of maturation. Maturation is the process of becoming mature. So you cannot become mature without allowing the saturation of the word to take place in your life. That means that the word has to be alive. It's not good enough that y'all sit up here and listen to it. You got to get out there and do it. You got to get out there and speak it. You got to be about it. And so, saturation leads to maturation. Glory. And then, maturation, in that maturation is a transformation. Come on. Ooh. Maybe I should have rapped. I should have rapped that. I should have kind of spit that out a little different. So that is the process. But understanding the relationship that Yahweh and Yeshua have, that oneness, we should have that oneness with the word. Have that oneness and understanding who Yeshua is. And so when he says that I am, I want to be that saturated, maturated, transformed individual. Who wants that in their life? Who wants to be saturated in the word? Uh-uh. Now, see, that's the problem. See, saturation is not optional. You have to allow that word to go through every aspect of your life. So you can't just be saved on Sunday. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you. Somebody caught that. You're doing everything else. You got to be about them on Sunday. You got to be about them on Monday, tomorrow. You got to be about them Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and come back for more. That is a process. So understanding that oneness that you have with the word, well, if Yeshua is the word, and we're supposed to have oneness with the word, then that means we should have oneness with who Yeshua is. And so, go to Exodus, the third chapter, the 13th verse. And for you Hebrew scholars, the Hebrew name for Exodus is smote. We study here. Anybody want higher learning in the word? It's not just enough to say, hey, he loves me and Yeshua wept. We got to know why. Hey, I love that. So Exodus or smote, the third chapter, the 13th verse says, And Moshe, or Moses, said unto Yahweh, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say to them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? So Moshe was asking, if I'm taking your word and I'm bringing it back to your people, and if they ask me, who sent this and what is your name? What am I supposed to say unto them? And the 14th verse says, and Yahweh said unto Moshe, I am that I am. All right. Which translated properly in the Hebrew is Eye Asher Eye. Now, even though the word says, tell them I am that I am, when you look at the Hebrew, Eye Asher Eye, it doesn't mean I am that I am. It means I will be what I'm that which I will be. So when we look at this as pronounced Eye Asher Eye, it means I will be whatever I will be. And if you can extrapolate that, and it means I will be whatever, I will be whenever, I will be wherever, I will be what? I will be. Because the Hebrew concept of God, Yahweh, is that he's always moving. He's always what? In the future. So by the time you ask what his name is, it's not I am, it's I will be. I'm ahead of you. And so when we understand that, he says, and thus, this is what you're going to tell them. So the meaning of the name of God, and that's why we use the Hebrew name of God, Yahweh, which is Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. Let's look at what that looks like. The name of God, that's what it looks like. Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. And that is the name of God. And that name means Eyer, Eshir, Eyer. And that means he will be whatever. So whatever your situation is, he will be whatever you need him to be. He will be wherever you need him to be, whenever you need him to be, however you need him to be, he will be what he will be. So when we look at that and whatever we need, understanding the nature of him, whatever you need is already done. Because he already will be whatever it is that you needed. He ahead of you. Tell your neighbor, it's already done. So that's the nature of the God that you serve. That's why people say, well, why do you use the name of God? Because it means something. It don't make no difference if I just call him God. God is a universal term. There are a lot of gods out there. There are a lot of idols. But we serve the true and living, one, amazing, awesome, incredible God that's a yeah, a share, a yay. He will be whatever he will be. So understanding that concept, when Yeshua said before Abraham was, I am. I'm connected to that. I am that. So you can't separate the Holy Ghost, Yeshua, and Yahweh from each other. They're not separate. It's all one. That's like trying to separate the water from the wet. Right? You got to have the wet with the water. If it ain't wet, it ain't water. So you can't separate. It's the oneness. So he wants each and every one of us to enter into that oneness, to be all we can be. So understanding that, let's go to Well, let me tell you what I'm going to talk to you about then. So initially, I had received that we were going to talk about the importance of I am. But, and this is going to sound weird, he wanted me to scratch out or cross out the importance, leave it there, crossed out, and then put urgency behind it of I am. So instead of the importance of I am, because it's important, it's the urgency of I am. We are living in a world that you got to understand how important it is that you are serving a God, a Savior, the presence of the Holy Spirit that is. He just is. He just is. He just, you can't put something, it's just everything. He just exists. He's real. He's moving. He's hearing. He's everywhere at one time. Tell your neighbor, he just is. I am. So Yeshua was like, hey, before Abraham was, I exist. I am. So he said the urgency of I am in us understanding. So let's go to Matthew, with a few minutes that I got off up in her. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Let's go to the 13th verse. And I need you to catch each and every one of these things that I'm throwing out here. Because last week I told you about one of the disciples. His name is John, or his Hebrew name is Yohanan. And we're talking about being saturated in the Word. So Yohanan, a lot of people see the New Testament Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they think that John was the fourth book written. It was not. It was the last book written. Out of all the other, out of the 66, it was the last one. That means that when you look at the Gospel of John, that gospel was written from a dude who had been saturated in the Word for 80-something years. He's seen everything. He heard everything. He was walking with Yeshua. And when Yeshua was on the cross, Yeshua said, John, Yohanan was there, and Miriam, Mary, his mother. And he said, behold, that's your mama. That's your son. Basically, I'm going on, take care of her. So what did he do? He was obedient. He took care of her. Took care of her, lived with her, heard. Not only did he walk with Yeshua, he walked with Yeshua's mama. So in walking with the mama, she was like, guess what happened? The angel Gabriel appeared unto me. And I'm telling you, this is what he said. You know? He described everything that Yeshua had grown up and been into, who he was through teens years. So this dude understood the Savior that he served. So then after all those years, he was exiled, he was brought back, he was exiled again, they took his eyes out. And after all of that, he gets to the point of writing the Gospel of Yohanan, and he starts it out with, in the beginning was the Word. After he was saturated, marinated, maturated, he says, in the beginning was the Word. What does that tell you? After everything that I've been through, this is what you need to understand. It's all starting and about the Word. It's all about the Word. So when we go here to Matthew, we're going to set it up. So Matthew 16, chapter 13, verse says, when Yeshua came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say? say that I, the Son of Man, am. Check this out. I read that. Do you know that he asked a question and he answered the question within the question? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Did you not catch that? He says, who do they say? And let me give you the answer real quick and see if you're sharp enough to catch it. That I, the Son of Man, am. What did he say? I am. Say, I am. And the 14th verse says, well, they say, some say that you're Yohanan the Baptist, John the Baptist. Some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But who do you say? I gave you the answer. It was a trick question. You should already know who I am. No matter what they say, who do you say that I am? We already know what the answer is. They just like, oh, you're the Messiah. But we need to know for ourselves who he is. Apostle can't know for me who he is. Your neighbor can't know from you. Your grandmama, your mama. You gotta know for yourself who he is. And he what? Is. He just is. He is I am. So here we have Yeshua talking about I am. Go to John, the 6th chapter. You better know who he is. You better know what your relationship is with him, or you're going to miss him. He's going to be moving and you're not even going to know what happened. It went over your head. You missed him. So go to John 6 chapter 35th verse. What book of the Bible are we in? This is the Gospel of Yohanan. So this is picture, let's liken this chapter unto a barbecue rib that has been marinated for Denise, how long do y'all like let that stuff sink in? Can you tell us? A whole day of marination. See, some of y'all, you just do an hour. You do two. But do you have the patience to let that thing just marinate? All day long. Do you have the preparation to say, hey, I got some time to let that marinate? When you read this, this has marinated for 80 years. So when he says something, you better listen. Tell your neighbor, you better listen. This is Yohanan. And after everything that he's been through, he's releasing it. And so he says, and Yeshua said unto them, I am the bread of life. Receive this. I am the bread of life. He that comes unto me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Somebody say, he is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. So if you're hungry with him, he supplies it. Why? Because he is the bread of life. If you're hungry for the word, he is the bread of life. He's the word. If you're physically hungry, he can't provide because he is the bread of life. What did he do? One of the miracles he did, he broke up loaves of bread and fish and fed the multitude. Why did he do that? How did he provide that? How did he work that miracle? Because he is. How did he give provision when the people needed it? Because he is. So if he is, why are you looking somewhere else? If he is the bread of life, why are you looking for another provider? Why are you looking for another source? He is. Somebody received that. He is. Even when at the Last Supper, he said, this is my body that is broken for you. The living word is broken for you. And I'm still providing in this sacrifice. I'm giving you something. I'm giving you sustenance. I'm giving you life. How can I do that? Because I am. The bread of life. If you follow me, you won't be hungry. Some of y'all are hungry. You're not hungry. H-U-N-G-R, U-H-O-N, you hungry. You're more than that. So why are you going thirsting, trying to find other sources to fill you, to provide for you, when you serve a God that is? We ain't finished with Yohanan. Go to Yohanan 8th chapter. We going systematic. Came out of the sixth. Now we're going to take another slice. Yohanan, the 8th chapter, the 12th verse. You got to say, I got it. Then spake Yeshua again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you're in the dark, why are you looking for any other light source? Yeshua is, he said, I am the light. So, what kind of darkness are you in? Are you in light darkness? Situational darkness? Why are you staying in the dark? Why are you even in the dark? Because you have Yeshua. And what? He is. He says, I am the light. And if you're following me, you won't walk in darkness. So if you're walking in darkness, chances are you are not following him. Sometimes the light is on, sometimes the light is off, sometimes the light is on, sometimes the light is off. Check this out. The light is always on. You just walking outside the light. If you're following him, there ain't no such thing as darkness. Tell your neighbor, follow him and you'll stay in the light. If you don't follow him, you'll be in the dark. Y'all don't understand. Go to Yohanan, the 9th chapter. The 9th chapter. The next chapter. If you flipping, if I hear pages flipping, you're doing too much. Just one chapter over. Yohanan, the 9th chapter, the 5th verse. Got to say, I got it. And he says this, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, why did he say this? Well, look, go to the 6th verse. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made the clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And we know after he did that, the dude that was blind got his sight restored. So it doesn't matter if you're in a situation dark or if you are in physical darkness. If you walk with Yeshua, he is the light. You blind? Yeshua says, I am. You just in dark? He says, I am the light. Go. That's not enough for y'all. Go to the 10th chapter of Yohanan. Come on, this is, we slicing into this. Each time, Yohanan, the 10th chapter, the 9th verse. If you got it, say, I got it. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. You need something done for you? You need to walk into a breakthrough? He is the door. Yeshua says, I am. Why are you knocking on them other doors? You know what door to knock on. You know what door to walk through. Why are you walking into those other places? Because Yeshua told you.
He says what?
I am the door. Anybody need a way out? Hello? Anybody feel like you just boxed in? I can't get out of this? You follow Yeshua, he is. Somebody say, he is the door. And if you don't know where the door is, tell your neighbor,
I'll show you the door.
That's, well, you gotta make sure that your neighbor know. Come on, y'all. But you're not ready yet. Go to the 10th verse, and he says, the thief cometh not to, but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He got some other doors. You better know that I am the door. He says, I am come. Here, that's another one. I am come, meaning I'm here. I'm right here. All you got to do is receive me. I'm come. Y'all was waiting for me all these years in prophecy, and guess what? I have come. And I've come to do something. I've come that you might have life. And that you might have it what? More abundantly. And 11th verse says, I am the good shepherd. Come on, y'all. See, a bad shepherd gonna treat you wrong. A bad shepherd gonna abuse you. A bad shepherd's gonna use you. A bad shepherd ain't gonna watch out for you. A bad shepherd ain't gonna have your back. But he says, hey, I know you've been exposed to some bad shepherds, some bad stuff, but let you know who I am. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd will give his life for the sheep. The good shepherd will leave the 99 and go find the one. Does anybody know who the good shepherd is? Who is the good shepherd? Yeshua said, I am the good shepherd. Because he says the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Oh, thank you, Father Yahweh. Go to Yohanan 11th chapter. Wow. He is almost in each one of these chapters. Yohanan 11. You got it? Go to 25. You have Lazarus, who was dead. And it was like, oh, he gone. He been dead for a long time. And here you come. You too late. Isn't that what they said? He's in the grave, and not only is he in the grave, he stinketh. So he asked her, do you want to see Lazarus? She said, well, I will see him in the resurrection, at the resurrection. Then we pick up what Yeshua said. Yeshua said unto her, I am the resurrection. You look and you say you're going to see him in the resurrection. You don't know who you're talking to. I am the resurrection. And not only that, I am the life. If you believe in me, though you were dead, and I don't care how long you was dead, I don't care how long you've been out there, I don't care. If you come to me, you're going to live. Anybody ever live a dead life?
Hello.
Hello. I don't have enough hands. I lived. I lived. He was a pastor's son. Contrary to popular belief,
the pastor's kids.
You know what they say about us. But guess what? I accepted Yeshua for myself. I found out that he was the resurrection for myself because my dead deeds was in the past. I turned that over. Now I've given up the dead deeds. Now I can live. Why can I do that? Because he is the resurrection. And the life. Let's go to Yohanan 14. And some of y'all, after you leave here this week, you better chew on who he is. You better chew on Yeshua. You better meditate on this. Meditate on who he is. And whatever situation you're in, he can answer each and every one of them. So Yohanan, the 14th chapter, the 5th verse says what? Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know whether you're going. How can we know the way? We're going to be confused. We're going to be without a shepherd. How will we know the way? And Yeshua said unto him, I am the way. Not only am I the way, I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but who? He is the what? Thank you. I got one person who know. He is the what? He is also the what? And he's also the what? Hallelujah. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Somebody say, he's the only way. Somebody sung it. Go this. Yohanan, the 15th chapter. Almost done. Because y'all going to take this and you just going to let it work on you. You're going to let it marinate. So, Yohanan, the 15th chapter, the 5th verse. And Yeshua says, I am. You serve such an incredible, awesome, and mighty God. Has anybody been counting all of the I ams? And guess what? He's more than that. Are you following me? He is more than that. I don't care how many you count here. He is more than that. And even Yohanan said, listen, if I have the opportunity to tell you about all the things that Yeshua did, there just would not be enough books for me to write. The world could not even know all of these things. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. So who are we in relation to him? Somebody say connected. In him. So it says, he that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, you can do some stuff. You can do a couple of things. You can't do nothing without Yahweh. Tell yourself, I can't without him. Yo, you say that. Get that. Say it. I want you to say it 3 times. Say, I can do. Again. again. Thank him for that aspect. Can't do nothing. Can't do nothing. We got to be connected. And this is the last thing. I'm going to take you. And guess what? Revelations. We call it Revelations. In Hebrew, it's called Apocalypse. Apocalypse. It was written, the title of it was written, The Revelation of Yeshua Mashiach. That's what the title is. Hello? Are you following me? We say Revelations, but
we have been used to cutting it short.
But if you open up that Bible, I was going to say dusty. I'm not going to do you like that. If you look up that first page, Revelations, first chapter, who has a regular Bible, a hard copy? When you get to Revelations, what does it say?
John Divine.
Revelation of Yeshua, right? It says Jesus Christ, but divine. Which one do you have? What does yours say? Revelation of Yeshua. What you got? What version you got? What translation? King James? That's what it was written as. The Revelation or Apocalypse of Yeshua Mashiach. So, not only did Yohanan write the Gospel of Yohanan, what else did he write? So let's go there. Let's go to the first chapter in the 11th verse. And I'm going to leave you with this. It says, first verse, go to the 10th chapter. 10th chapter was first chapter, 10th verse. And he says, I was in the Spirit on Yahweh's day and heard him. Picture this. I heard him behind me, a great voice,
as of a trumpet.
And the 11th verse saying, I am. Somebody say, I am.
I am.
I am Alpha and Omega. And we know that in the Greek, that is the beginning and the end. Now hold up. That's the Greek. Alpha and Omega is the Greek. Something pretty amazing happens when you look at the Hebrew. So the first in Greek is Alpha. The first in Hebrew is Aleph. The last letter in Greek is Omega. The last letter in Hebrew is Tav. So here he's saying, I am Aleph and Tav. In the Hebrew alphabet, he says, I am the first letter, which is Aleph, and I am the last letter, which is Tav. Are you ready? So when we look at the Hebrew alphabet, let's go there for a second. And I have a slide on that. The first letter, because they read from right to left. So do you see all the way to the right? See, we read from left to right. We got it backwards. The original Hebrew is what? Right to left. So he says, I am Aleph and I am Tau.
Right?
The beginning and the end. Well, guess what? In the middle of the alphabet, the middle letter is a mem. So if you take Aleph and mem and tav, you get emet. And the word emet means truth. So if you know him to be the beginning, Aleph, and the end, tav,
He's the beginning, then the end, and in the middle, he's everything in between. And then the word that is spelled when you take the beginning, the middle, and the end is truth. Why is he the truth? So not only is he who he is, because he is who he is, but when you take this language and you say, he says, I'm Alpha and Omega. Well, if he's the end and the beginning, he's the beginning and the end, that means he's everything in between. How incredible is it that if you take the middle letter and all three of them together spells truth in Hebrew? Somebody say total truth. And who is the truth? Who is the truth? He is. Come on, y'all. You don't know. Wait, I didn't tell you to do that yet. So guess what? And the apostle's going to help me with this last piece. Because if you take off the Aleph and you're left with just the Mem and the Tav. So if you take off the beginning. Let's look at that next slide. There's a letter that goes in between the Mem and the Tav. That is apostle. And what the letter is a shuruk. If you take the alpha off of this and you put a shuruk in the middle of that, that is the word for dead. That word is moot. That's where we get moot from. When something doesn't matter anymore, it's moot, it's dead. So without the beginning, the truth is dead. Wait a minute. If you take the beginning off the truth, everything you have is, it doesn't mean nothing. It doesn't mean nothing without the beginning. It doesn't mean nothing without I am. It doesn't mean nothing with a yay, a share, a yay. It doesn't mean nothing. I will be whatever I will be. Somebody needs to put this and apply it to your life. And let it become rhema. You serve a God that is who? Whatever. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the door. He is the way. He is the bread. He is. Somebody say he is. He is. He is. He is. He is. He is. My God. Is that alive? Does that work something in you? Guess what? Because that ain't no coincidence. In the Hebrew, we know that there is no word for coincidence. Do you see how he has set this up? Do you see how he is speaking even in the letters? The letters speak. The language speaks. The word speaks. And the revelation. And hey, after everything that Johannes been through, he was like, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with Yahweh. And the Word was Yahweh. And he is the Alpha or the Aleph. And he is the Tav. He's everything in between. And when you put it all together, he is the truth. And if you take the beginning off of it, it doesn't mean a thing. It's dead. Does anybody believe in truth? Truth. You are the truth. You are the truth. You are the truth. Father, Father, thank you for life. Thank you for truth. Thank you for the way. Thank you for the living bread. Thank you for everything who you are. Forgive us for searching other places because not realizing that we got to take you at your word. When you said in the word that I am, we gotta believe that's who you are. That's who you are. So right now, Father, help us. Continue to reveal to us and show us in a real way, in a live way, who you are. And that we may take you at your word, we may believe you. And that we may apply you to our lives, that we might saturate ourselves
in who you are, in the Word, in the Holy Spirit, that we can be all that we can be for you, because you deserve it. You've given so much. So we thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. We submit to you. We surrender to you. You're everything. We thank you for that in Yeshua's name. Amen. Please bow your head for just a second.